This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Save $20 plus get free shipping on the Gen 40 Heater now at EdenPureDeals.com and use code HOWIEHEATER. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and it's gorgeous out yet again. And we have a lot to get to. There's a lot of fun news today. Just kind of, you know, hypocrites being hypocrites, doing what they do. But I always try to think of a common theme of the day. And one did hit me. And I had been thinking of it this morning. I turned on the news. I saw Mayor Pete was up there at the podium. I believe that was yesterday. And, you know, I just let out a sigh because it's unbearable, like the disconnect. And then I thought of it, you know what, Grace? Let's put a positive spin on this. And there is a positive spin. You kind of have to love how the Democrats, and specifically these hacks in D.C. and these experts in the Biden administration, the best and the brightest, you might call them if you were, say, David Ignatius, you kind of have to admire how they keep going full steam ahead no matter what. They are unapologetically out of touch. And they make no excuses. They will not change. It reminds me of like a friend you might have who wears something ostentatious or something tacky and people might say it to her, but she doesn't care because she loves it. It's this devotion to being elitist and snobby and tone deaf, no matter how much criticism they may get along the way. They keep their eyes on the prize. And right now, the prize looks like losing in 2022. So I am in full support of this. But nothing, not polls, not elections, not think pieces. Not just like the collective groans of the American people will shake these people from this bubble that they're in, from this world of nonsense issues that only they can afford to care about. Boutique problems. And no, I'm not talking about the supply chain crisis. I know Ron Klain told you that was a high class problem, but I don't know. In my world, maybe I'm just so fancy. In my world, it is a problem. So maybe I'm high class. You know, maybe I'm just a sophisticated lady. But it really, when I saw Pete Buttigieg come out to the podium, and I want everyone to keep this in mind, we're dealing with a supply chain issue. It's gotten worse and worse over the last few months. It's really bad right now. Even after Joe Biden put his foot down and said, you know, I'm going to make the ports stay open 24/7. He's like the man who's going to make the trains run on time. It's actually gotten, I think, 28% worse since then, somehow.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
I heard Joe Biden was stepping in, and I immediately thought, problem solved. And yet, here we are. But Pete Buttigieg comes out yesterday. And I just want to set the scene here a little bit before we play this sound. Because, how should I put this? If this guy was killing it right now, like if everything was running smoothly, his statements would still be moronic. And he would still get trolled on this show and on conservative Twitter and anywhere where there is a modicum of common sense, people would be trolling this guy. But the fact that he's saying these woke, meaningless phrases while there's an actual issue that falls under the purview of his job, which, by the way, he hasn't been present for in quite some time because he was on paternity leave. Just the fact that he still goes out there and spins this yarn you almost have to tip your hat. You know, you almost have to say, wow, it's the gall to look at the American people with a straight face and say these baloney things like highways are racist. And we're going to get into all of it. But I just think the part of that that I want to kind of focus in on is that he was on paternity leave. I'm not going to argue with it. Jen Psaki made it very clear to me when she yelled at Emerald Robinson from Newsmax that paternity leave is something this administration supports. And that's wonderful. I think Emerald's main point was, do you put it off a little bit when the supply chain crisis is happening on both coasts and you're in charge? You're the Secretary of Transportation. But still, Jen Psaki took that question and made it very clear that paternity leave is A-okay in the Biden administration. And that's all well and good. But even if Pete Buttigieg knows that Jen Psaki and Ron Klain and Joe Biden and Dr. Jilly Bean and all these people are not giving him the stink eye when he walks in, like they're very happy that he made the decision he made. And I believe that. Like if a crisis happened at work and someone was on paternity leave and everyone kind of thought they'd come back and they didn't, they would come back and everyone would kind of give him the stink eye in a normal world, in a normal office. In this case, I fully believe he comes back to work and he's met with open arms. Everyone's like, we missed you so much. We saw you on MSNBC talking about the babies. How is everything? I heard about the Amazon documentary. You're killing it. By the way, side note, there's a post-it on your desk. There is a supply chain crisis. But don't rush to it. Don't get your coffee. Get settled in. There's donuts in the rec room. So don't rush. You have plenty of time. Okay? It's just a minor supply chain crisis that's affecting the country and kind of the world. But you let us know when you get a minute. We might have a meeting. Follow up.
Yeah, he's not catching any flack because he's actually doing his job. He is not solving things. Well, that's why they're happy with him.
Well, this is where I get confused because now, with that being said, he knows that everyone is, you know, happy to have him back, whatever. He still comes to the podium yesterday. And technically, while he's briefing the press, you are speaking to the American people. You know, there's a lot of cameras there. There's the press pool. You know this is going out to the regular Americans, as Joe Biden would call us. So you would think that he would come a little bit with his hat in his hand. You know, a little bit like, all right, let's just get through this. People are really angry. People aren't getting their treadmills, the tragedy of the treadmill. And it's fine. Like, he can go back with the crew afterwards and say, you imagine all those spoiled, fat Americans who are worried about their Christmas gifts? Those ugly Americans? Ugh, high-class problems. Am I right, Ron? Pound it. And that's fine. Like, we know he's going to do that. But when he comes in front of the podium, you'd think he'd put on a little bit of a face, like a little bit of something. But this is why I love the people in Biden's administration, because they are resolute in their wokeness. And he still talks about how roads are racist. I have to play this cut here. Now, to be fair, he was prompted by April Ryan, who is an activist slash journalist. And this was a whopper of a question she teed up for him. But let's take a listen to the Secretary of Transportation, who got his job because he thinks airports are romantic. That was his qualifications. And this is the answer we're getting, cut three.
As to where we target those dollars, you know, I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if a highway was built for the purpose of dividing a white and a black neighborhood, or if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away, putting to work.
I think people are surprised that you felt the need to talk about this right now.
Racism, racism.
There's a huge pushback right now against this jargon and this woke, victim shaming, blaming, whatever you want to call this, there's a pushback against this wokeness. People do not like it. People are tired of hearing about it. And I want to tell you something else. And I thought about this today. I was trying to think of, you know, an analogy for what this would be like, because Jared last week brought up a great point about how these are issues that a lot of people, yeah, you could sit and write a thesis about how racist highways are, you know, the biggest issue in America. You might do that in your spare time or when you're in college, but if you have a lot of bigger problems on your plate, you're probably not sitting around thinking about that. And all I could think of was, it's like if you move into a house and you're talking to your husband and you're looking at a room and you say, I really want to paint this room green. And your husband says, I really want to paint it blue. And you say, no, I'm dead set on green. And then one day you come into your house and it's been flooded and everything's destroyed. And your husband walks in and you say, what are we going to do? And your husband says, I really want to paint that room blue. You would say, don't you think we have other things to worry about? Don't worry about the paint anymore. There's something else happening. We need to direct our attention to the flood that is now in our home. And that's how Americans feel. It's like, okay, all of this talk is wonderful when you're trying to get elected and when Trump is president and things are running smoothly. But now you guys have managed to gum up every system in this country and you're destroying things and you're still talking about unicorns. It really is. It's amazing to watch. Let's play cut four.
Thanks to members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, President Biden's historic bipartisan infrastructure deal will now become the law of the land.
Oh my gosh. And there's so much more of this. And he's not the only liberal right now who takes my breath away with how dedicated he is to not connecting with regular people. Like to almost, and someone pointed this out yesterday, to almost rubbing our faces in the fact that these are issues that he has time to worry about. And he doesn't, by the way. In a normal world, he would not have time to worry about that. But in this administration, he does. Because what's the rush? What's he going to fix the supply chain crisis? No. We'll hold off on that. And we see this everywhere. We see this with Joe Biden. We see this with everyone at COP26. You have a country that is being told we are selfish for wanting to buy things, or we are spoiled for wanting things to arrive on time. And then in the same moment, you have a president going over to a climate summit and talking about how the world is going to end, and then subsequently falling asleep at that summit. There's so much hypocrisy. And remember what AOC said once? She said, we're missing the forest for the trees. These people are missing the forest for the trees. The forest is on fire and they're staring at a tree going, you know what? This tree to me feels like it's kind of a dog whistle. There's something about it that doesn't sit right with me. You can thank Joe Biden as inflation surges. This winter, heating bills are projected to soar by as much as 54% in some areas. After seeing some reports today, it might be even higher, depending on your heating source. Well, my friends at Eden Pure can help. Right now, you can save $20 on their Gen 40 heater that is both stylish and easy to move from room to room. These are really cool looking heaters. They're kind of retro. And the thing that Jared always points out, which I agree with, is sometimes you think space heater, you think of this big machine that's going to get really hot and kind of scary. These are so slick and sleek, and they don't get overly hot. They just really keep you warm.
Yeah, and they could almost be considered a decorative piece in the room. So if you're worried about having a giant heater or something in the middle of your living room or wherever you get it, you don't have to worry about that because it blends in perfectly with almost any type of interior decorating. And when we talked about those big units, well, a lot of those get really hot. They blow hot air in your face or just in one direction. You can't touch them. You can't get near them. It gets uncomfortable in one part of the room and cold in another part. You don't have to worry about that with the Gen 40.
Absolutely. So order your Gen 40 space heater right now with code word Grace Heater. Don't wait for the first huge home heating bill, compliments of Joe Biden's crazy policies. These Gen 40 heaters may be gone by Thanksgiving. So go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word Grace Heater to save $20 and get free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word Grace Heater. Very excited people are already on the lines. 844-500-4242. We'll take calls for the entire hour. By the way, Kamala Harris is about to check something off her bucket list, and we have some music to help her do it. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Thing that I should add in about this dedication to being obnoxiously out of touch and tone deaf with the rest of the American people. Sometimes it's like they double down, like a Governor Gavin Newsom, for example. He almost learns his lesson. You know, California almost says, hey, French Laundry, we've had enough of your double standards and your hypocrisy and your snobbiness. And then he squeaks by and he gets a second wind. You know, he's even more, he wants to rub, that's the best way I can put it, he wants to rub people's faces in it. Like, no, I am better than you. I do have a different set of rules. And you know how I'm going to show you it? I'm going to go missing for 11 days, and then I'm going to go to a big fancy wedding for one of the Getty heirs that Nancy Pelosi is officiating. There. Ha. You got to kind of admire it. It really is something. Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, Grace? Thanks for taking... You know, when you about Build Back Better, you say to yourself, who's he building back better for? Because everything that he's done hasn't benefited any average people, not you, not me, or any of the listeners. I mean, he's been an embarrassment across the world. He was an embarrassment in Afghanistan. He's an embarrassment with his policies as far as, you know, knocking out the Keystone Pipeline and allowing Russia to go with the Northern Pipeline. The COVID situation, I mean, that's really working out well. We're firing people left and right when we need people working. And then, of course, we've got the border situation where, hell, everybody just gets to walk through, and who the hell is vetted? No one. So I want to know who he's building back better for, because I don't think it's for us.
No, I agree. I think it's for everyone involved in this major Democrat grift. That's who I think he's building back better for. It's government hacks. And I just want to add something in there, Dan. U.S. producer price inflation jumps 8.6% year over year in October, matching the largest increase on record. That's just to add to his resume of building back better. Gary, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Gary.
Good morning, Grace. I love it. It's sort of like law when they say, you know, when you have the facts, use the facts. When you have the figures, use the figures. You know, when all else fails, pound on the table. And this is, you know, this is a similar thing. I could tell you right now, I know a number of people who are retired. They're 62, 63, 64. They've retired. And you say, well, you know, there's all these openings. Why not go back to work? And they say, well, that would just screw up my Social Security. Now, your last program there, the Financial Exchange, was just talking about how they have a shortage of drivers. So why not give special tax incentives to drivers to go back to work? That's a practical sense solution. You could be out there leading with that. Instead, you strike me as a guy who has no ideas, no clue what he's doing, and you're in way over your head.
Yeah, and he would say, listen, Gary, that's a really, you know, that's a cute idea that you have. I know you think that makes a lot of sense. You clearly don't understand how tricky and complicated this is. But what I'd like to do, Gary, is invite you to sit down with maybe a critical race theory expert and try to understand how that idea you just came up with is actually rooted in racism.
Retirement could be racist. You're absolutely right. What was I thinking?
Yeah, no, it's okay, Gary. It's okay. We forgive you on this show. We understand. It's a learning curve. We're all on this learning curve together. And speaking of that, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about learning to love. I'm not even joking. MSNBC wants you to learn to love inflation. And it's going to be hard. No one said it's going to be easy, okay? This isn't one of these, you know, you first meet, you fall madly in love. This is a slow process. But we're going to get you there. 844-500-4242. A lot of sound as well. Kamala Harris is in Paris. And Obama is having some old school gaffes in Scotland. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Grace Curley Show. I'm already very impressed with the callers we've had today, 844-500-4242. And we will keep taking your calls throughout the course of the show. I should mention we have Carol Markowitz from the New York Post at 105. She's coming on to discuss Dr. Fauci, the vaccines. There's this big push now to get kids from the ages of 5 through 11 vaccinated. And I don't know if people saw this in the Wall Street Journal, but Dr. Marty McCary, who's a friend of the Howie Carr Show, and he's been on a few times with Howie, he has a really good piece out where he breaks down the numbers. He doesn't say, you know, anything wild. I'm sure it'll be painted like that by, you know, his opposition. But he just breaks down the risk of getting the vaccine if you're a small child or not. And we'll definitely get to that a little bit later. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. So visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the biggest COP26 hypocrite? Jeff Bezos, Barack Obama, John Kerry, AOC, or Joe Biden?
Oh, that's a whopper. Biden did fall asleep, but I can't blame him. And I don't think he ever has really felt that passionately about the climate. I mean, I think he's very passionate about the climate, but on the climate, he's iffy. Obama is definitely a major hypocrite. And I don't know if people saw this, but he had a bit of a gaffe at the COP26. And since we're on the subject, we might want to play this. People oftentimes remember that Biden is a gaffe king, and he, oh my God, he is. I mean, I don't. Wait till you hear the interview we're pulling now. He was on a local TV news station. Yikes. But Barack should not be underestimated. He has said a couple things in his time that definitely make the record books. And one thing he said when he was in Scotland that is getting the Scottish TV anchors, it's giving them a bit of a chuckle, is this cut 16.
Since we're in the Emerald Isles here, let me quote the bard, William Shakespeare. What wound, he writes, did ever heal but by degrees?
Ooh.
Missed it by that much.
If only you were in the Emerald Isles, that would have been so poetic. It's such
all those European countries look the same.
And they enjoyed it, these anchors. You got to listen to, this is Jeremy Vine from Scottish TV. This is cut 17.
Right. We lost track there, oh, but dear. Storm, tell us what was wrong with that.
Oh, Obama. Emerald Isles, obviously Ireland, not Scotland, so that was his first gaffe. But I could forgive him that, because, you know, it's Barack Obama, fine. And then he goes on to say, the bard, Shakespeare. Well, no, monsieur. The bard in Scotland is Robbie Burns.
Is that right?
So the national bard.
If he'd said, let me quote Shakespeare, you might have got away with that. It's the one island.
That would be fine. Yeah.
But if you say the bard and then you quote the wrong bard,
yes,
you get in trouble.
In Scotland, yes.
Hey, at least you didn't offend any of the corpsmen, okay? Let's give the guy some credit. And there's also cut 18. Again, this is Jeremy Vine.
Should we start renaming some of their cities? We could go, you know, San Francisco, or as it's known, the Big Apple. Can we just do that in revenge?
A lot of people were having that revenge on Twitter. One user wrote, as a citizen of the Emerald Isles, I would like to thank the former president of Canada for his kind words today. So that was a pretty funny gaffe. But as far as this poll question goes, and it is a tough one, I'm torn between, Jared, I'm going to walk you through my thought process. I'm torn between John Kerry, because he really is the face of climate change.
And the chin.
But also Jeff Bezos. Because this guy goes to COP26, where he's lecturing us all about how, you know, we need to start learning to kayak and cut back on the cow meat. And then in the same breath, he's bragging about how he was just in space. Like, I went to space the other day. And everyone's sitting there going, dude, you went to space? That's got to be at least twice my carbon emissions. But it feels wrong not to give it to John Kerry. I'm going to say John Kerry.
Yes, John Kerry is in the lead at 52%.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
Yeah.
Second place goes to Barack Obama at 31%. Jeff Bezos, Joe Biden tied at 7%. AOC is tied at 2%. And 978, since you are asking, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com and you can see the poll right there on the front page.
And I didn't include Greta Thunberg for a very specific reason. I consider Greta, she's wacky. She's wild. But I think she's a true believer, you know?
Yeah, she's not a hypocrite.
As much as she can be. You got to get places, I guess.
Yeah, she's not a hypocrite at all. Now, I mean, she's one of those insane turn on your own, eat, like revolution eats its own type of people, since she's turning on the blah, blah, blah betters.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's go to Joe. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I'm an RN who's been dealing with the COVID on multiple levels, including a lot of the vaccinations, and people just really want to be aware of what's going on. When you see, you know, the reports from VAERS, which is the government agency that tracks injuries, it's so underreported. Most people don't know how to do it. And even people I've known that have gone to the emergency room with vaccine injuries, the hospitals don't have time to fill out the lengthy paperwork.
Oh,
the
really?
Primary cases don't have time. Oh, absolutely. If you go on their website, and actually it's very clever because, and I actually talked to somebody that works for VAERS to see what type of things you're supposed to report. And her actual words were anything that's clinically significant. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to report. But
now, Joe, I'm glad you're kind of bringing us onto this subject, because I didn't know. At the beginning, I was going to kind of hit, you know, Kamala Harris going to Paris and Gavin Newsom going to that fancy wedding. But maybe we should kind of turn here to what Dr. Marty McCary said, because as Joe knows, there's this huge push to get kids vaccinated between the ages of 5 to 11. And I was reading this report by Dr. McCary in the Wall Street Journal, and then I realized that he was actually on Fox News primetime talking about it. And I think that there's no one who, you know, this is an actual expert on this subject, and he's just putting out facts, and he's met with such vitriol from the left. But let's play. So there's this new coronavirus pill data, and a lot of people have heard of this. It's by Merck, and it should render, according to reports, this is going to make Dr. Fauci very sad. It should render the case for Biden's vaccine mandates pretty much obsolete, because it's going to cut down on COVID so much so that the mandates aren't going to matter. And that really sucks if you're part of this authoritarian administration.
The Fauci ouchie.
Because it's one of those things where their whole personality is being able to tell us what to do. You know, that's where they get their power from. That's where they get their sense of self-worth. And if a pill comes along and they don't get to do that anymore, what am I here for? You know, it's like when you start dating someone and you become so entrenched in the relationship that when you break up, you lose your sense of self. Their relationship is with diktats and guidelines and mandates. And they don't remember a time before that. They don't remember who they were before they were your dear leaders and your rulers and your overlords. And so this pill could be a big problem. Now, a solution, if I'm thinking, because sometimes in order to understand the left, I try to pretend that I am, you know, I am a Democrat. I am a progressive. What would my next play be? You know, I'm at MSNBC, getting ready to go on to my 15 viewers. Where am I going with this? And I think I have the solution.
Put down the bong.
That's always number one. But no, I think what they have to do is what they've done with all medication and all treatments and all monoclonal antibodies and anything that's positive that really ruins their narrative that this is going to be a forever pandemic. And that is politicize this pill, which I'm sure they're going to do. And if you are trying to politicize a pill, I have your three guys to go to. Donald J. Trump. If he shoots out one of his little e-blasts about this pill, you know it's going to be a no-go. Joe Rogan, if he says he supports it, whoo boy, the stock is tanking. And who was my third? Maybe Ron DeSantis, Aaron Rodgers. But there's no doubt that people like Dr. Fauci, people like Joe Biden, they don't want to see this come to an end because this is all they have left. I think it's the only thing they pull semi-decent on, which shocks me. But we have to listen to the sound of Dr. Marty McCary on Fox News. He's specifically talking about this pill as far as, you know, making the mandates obsolete. But in this cut, he talks about reducing the deaths because of the pill. Let's play cut 19.
Well, guess what? Most of the country right now is between 1 and 5 cases per 100,000. Most are asymptomatic or mild. And yet we still see low-risk individuals who are forced to be fully vaccinated, forced to wear masks after being fully vaccinated. And, you know, the three drugs that are out now or that have been formally studied, one is out and two are going to get FDA approved soon. They reduce death and hospitalizations by 90%. That completely renders the medical case for a mandate obsolete. Two of the drugs cut COVID deaths to zero.
But it's not a medical case for a mandate. It's a political case. You know, it's a power case for a mandate. It has nothing to do, none of this has anything to do with medical. And by the way, speaking of McCary, I should read this now. He wrote, should you vaccinate your five-year-old? He actually wrote this piece with Nicole Safier, and I'm just going to read a couple facts here. He says, the risk is extremely low either way, which is something we've talked about a lot, which is, sure, is the risk of something going wrong with a vaccine very low? Yes. But is your five-year-old dying of COVID very low? Yes. So both risks are low. Why can't you decide which one your child should take? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 42% of U.S. children 5 through 11 had COVID by June of 2021, before the Delta wave, a prevalence that is likely greater than 50% today. Of 28 million children in that age range, 94 have died of COVID since the beginning of the pandemic, including deaths before newer treatments, and 562 have been hospitalized with COVID infections. Serious complications are so uncommon in this age range that of 2,186 children in the Pfizer vaccine study, no child in either the vaccine or the placebo group developed severe illness from COVID. 16 of the 663 unvaccinated children developed COVID infections, compared with only 3 of the 1,305 vaccinated ones, an effectiveness rate of 90% against infection. Thus, it's safe to assume that vaccinating a healthy child would take his extremely low risk of serious disease and drive it down even lower, which is kind of similar to what they've all told us. You know, oh yeah, there's not a great chance you're going to die of COVID, but if you get vaccinated, while you could still spread it and while you could still get it, if you do get it, you have a lower chance of dying from it. There's an important exception, writes Dr. McCary. If a child already had COVID, there's no scientific basis for vaccination. Immunity, natural immunity, seems to become this like boogeyman to the left now.
It's science.
Deep within the 80-page Pfizer report is this crucial line. No cases of COVID-19 were observed in either the vaccine group or the placebo group in participants with evidence of prior COVID infection. I think that a huge reason people are skeptical of the CDC, of this administration, of people like Dr. Fauci, and there's plenty of reasons to choose from, but one of them is this real hesitancy they have to embrace natural immunity, because it seems like such common sense to everyone. And when you think about other things, like when you were a little kid, natural immunity was always the best thing. I remember my mom hoping we'd all get chickenpox naturally because you have a better natural immunity. Suddenly now, 2021, it's like it doesn't even exist. And there's been studies that show in some cases your immunity is more robust against COVID if you had it naturally. But that's a whole conversation that, like Hunter Biden's laptop and, you know, like election integrity and like all of these other things, we're not allowed to talk about. Like the Wuhan lab, it makes us fringe. It makes us a conspiracy theorist. We're the ones not following the science. Now more than ever, there are many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America, that's just $15, sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreath have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath, made with 10 balsam bouquets, is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. You can always call in at 844-500-4242, or you can text in to 63566. Start your text with the word curly. We were talking earlier about how Pete Buttigieg is going to get to the bottom of all of our racist highways. And 202 says, did the highway engineer make an off-ramp that resembles a white supremacy symbol? And no, 202, actually it's worse. The highway voted for Glenn Youngkin. And I don't think we're ever going to recover from that.
Well, and a little bow on this whole highways are racist thing. And this is what the left always does. They fixate on some type of echo chamber. So the whole idea about New York's highway systems being racist, which what Mayor Pete was referring to, is because a Nieman fellow at Harvard University, a Carnegie fellow at Columbia University, one of these beautiful people, Robert Caro, wrote a book in 1974 where he decided in that book that Robert Moses, who built a bunch of, almost all of the highways and a lot of stuff in New York, did it because of racism. And that is their an infallible news source that started this whole BS.
So it's the Ron Burgundy. I read it in a book.
Yes. Some liberal fellowman somewhere wrote it down in a book and decided that it was this, and it became sacrosanct to the left, and now it is the law of the land, to use Mayor Pete's
interesting
phraseology.
So, no, that's a very that's a
and now you know
point.
The rest of the story. Please don't sue me.
And speaking of the left, it looks like Gavin Newsom has been located. If you were worried about him, he was missing for 11 days.
I was not.
A lot of people were saying, where is Gavin Newsom? Where is Gavin Newsom? You know, the French Laundry is just, they're freaking out. He hasn't come in for his 8 o'clock reservation. And it actually got pretty funny because he missed the COP26. And so late Monday, Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis claimed Newsom couldn't go to Scotland because he has young children. And she said it's unfortunate that he couldn't make it. You know, the governor has a young family. I think it's really important for everyone to understand that when you've got young kids, it's sometimes hard to come halfway around the world. And his wife was also tweeting. You know, she was calling people haters and telling people to get a life for wondering where he was. As if he's a public servant, you know, as if he owes us an explanation for where he is at a certain time.
He was on extended paternity leave.
He actually was at a billionaire oil heiress's wedding. You know, the Getty family? They had a TV show on FX about them. Ivy Getty weds in San Francisco. This looked like a very Newsom-approved affair. The opulent affair was officiated by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. I'm sure she was as eloquent as ever. I hope she made mention of some bird baths while she was officiating. The bride's rescue dog was a ring bearer, and the 26-year-old artist and model Ivy walked down the aisle at City Hall in San Francisco in a custom gown. And, you know, congrats to her as a fellow bride to be, not hating on this girl at all. I think it's wonderful she got married, but it is pretty funny that Governor Gavin Newsom pretends that you know, he's too busy to tell anyone where he is. And he's actually at this wedding with, you know who else was there? San Francisco Mayor London Breed, which begs the question, where was Tony? We'll be right back with a lot more. Yeah.